Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Nick this morning. Dell took the day off, do some stuff with Dad. But here's the deal, is we got Dana Holgorsen right now here on ESPN 97.5, and he's brought you my Damaris Barbecue. That's where you get your fajitas on. It's where you get your barbecue on. It's where you get your Greek salad on. It's where you watch your games. The Cougs are going to be on the road this week at Navy, so they will have the game up there. It's brought to you also by Chastang Ford. Great Cougs. Joe and Patrick Chastang, they love the Cougs. They support the programs, and they're Houston people. So you're looking for that Ford car or truck, that's where you go. And, of course, HRMP, Mike Holly, is a Coug. He blocked for Andre Ware, and they started HRMP, and it has been unbelievable ever since. So those are great Coug supporters. And if you're looking to support Cougs, out there, all of you Cougs, make sure that you support those three businesses. And let's bring in the head coach of the Houston Cougars, Dana Holgorsen. What's up?
Those are all real good people that you just described there. Houstonians and Cougars and just wonderful people. All but Yanni and Frankie, I don't know about those guys.
Yeah, those two, I'm not sure about either. But, well, they're Aggies, though. That's the problem with them, those two. So, but they do support the program. They love the program. We were all out there on Friday night, and what a slow start. How do you had a slow start against Tulane, and that was obviously how much time you had off. That was understandable, but another slow start against BYU. What as a coach can you do differently to get a quicker start for your club?
Well, just talk about it more than anything. You know, I did bring that up yesterday after practice. I said, guys, after the first quarter in both games, we've been down 38-10. I said the good news is we rallied and we were up in both those games after three quarters. You know, we finished one game, we didn't finish the other game. I think our opponent probably had something to do with the second one, but just focus on it. I don't know if you can really, you know, practice that unless you just line up and play another game. But we talk about it, and we're going to focus on it. Try not to, fall behind. The one thing that we did a better job of in the first quarter, the bad really wasn't that bad. We did opening drive, march it down, kind of stalled out, got some points. But they just came out pretty hot. We can't coach the corner any better than we did. As far as covering that thing, the number five just made a play on him, which he's done that for five straight games. The quarterback was spot on, as good as advertised, but just focus on it. And hopefully here against Navy, we'll start a little bit quicker and won't fall behind. That way we can be up a little bit more after three quarters.
Yeah, Tulane was mistakes and turnovers and not taking care of the football, and that was understandable. This wasn't – that five is good. Dude's a good – Dax is a good football player, and he went up and made a play, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you know what? You guys bounced back. That second quarter was awesome. I thought Christian Trahan, what a weapon, Dana, and he was finding him, but that was in the first half. Couldn't find him in the second half?
Yeah, they started covering them. So when that happens, it makes it a little harder to get the ball to them. Christian did that for us last year, and he's a dang good football player now. I mean, even after game one against Tulane, he didn't have really the stats, but he was our offensive player of the game. So, I think he's a guy that's just now coming into his own. He's got team captain qualities. He's got really good talent. Those plays he made last year, he just didn't do it as much as he did in that second quarter, the relationship that him and Toon's got is really good, really strong. But Christian's an all-around player. I mean, he's physical in the run game. He's always in the right spot. He's physical. He's tough. Does the job. He can run routes to get open and catch the football as well.
Yeah, I mean, that is a hell of a weapon when he is. I mean, right down the middle, and he's going up over people and catching balls and doing a hell of a job. That was something that was really nice, and took a lead into the half What did you like? What's Toon doing well, and what does he need to improve on for you right now?
Well, he got better from week one to week two. We focused hard on, just the bad can't be that bad. His bad plays can't be that bad. They can't change the one play can't change the game like that. He's got to prevent that. He went back and watched the Navy game from last year, which we'll get into in a minute, I know. But he was, I think he was like 25 for 35 for almost 400 yards against Navy last year, but he had four interceptions, and two of them were game-changing interceptions. So it happened in that game last year. It happened against Tulane. We overcame it against Tulane. He took care of the football the entire game. We got a little rattled late because BYU's a top-10 team, and in the fourth quarter when things got tight, they elevated their game, and we're just not quite there yet. But Clayton still took care of the ball. He's not forcing bad throws. He's not making bad decisions. He was extremely accurate, for three quarters. His completion percentage was a little high. So it showed improvement to me. Week one to week two, he showed improvement. And I think we're going to keep seeing that out of Clayton as well. He's a very motivated young man. His intelligence, his football IQ is high. He studies it. It means a lot to him. The rapport with the receivers will continue to strengthen, and I think he's just now starting to come into his own.
Yeah, yeah. Got to get five the ball more. Stevenson, no?
Yeah, we do. We do. He took a shot over the middle again on the first play, and, we got to prevent that. We're trying, I can assure you that. He knows that. I got frustrated late, but it's not for lack of trying. And BYU did a good job with them. They put their nickel back, on them on the outside. They funneled everything inside to the safeties, and that made it hard for us to get the ball. So we got to be creative, and we got to do different things to make sure that he gets touches. That was on me, probably a little bit more than anything. They did something that I wasn't prepared for. I can't let that happen. But I can assure you that we're going to try to get him the ball, and we'll try to get him the ball each and every week.
Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, Chastain Ford, and HR&P right here every week, ESPN 97.5. I got special teams. That has got to be something that, and we talk so well, special teams are so important. It's three parts of the game, and yeah, we all go, yeah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. Special teams was a killer for you on Friday night. I don't think between the punt game, the punt coverage with the halo call, with catching a punt on the 1 yard line, with the onside kick. But you wanted special teams was the difference in the game.
Putting a difference in the game, we lost the special teams. There's no question. The yardage difference was minus 20. From field position. That's the highest I've ever seen, right? So they dominated special teams, which resulted in dominating field position. I don't know. That offense probably doesn't need very good field position anyway. I mean, they can pretty much drive it from where they're at, wherever they're at. The kick catch interference, they don't have a hay rule. They got rid of the halo rule like 5 years ago. So the halo rule used to be like 2 yards. You couldn't come in within a 2 yard radius of them. Well, now it's kick catch interference. So what kick catch interference is, if you interfere with the returner catching the ball, then it's a flag. Well, we didn't interfere with them catching the ball. It was a horrible call. And I don't want to get into the whole, referees were against us or any of that stuff. We all know that they're Big 12 refs and they don't like them very much. But that was not a good call. I can't coach that any better. I mean, we had six guys around the ball. They ran down there. They allowed the kid to catch the ball. The one weakness number five has is fielding punts. He's put three or four on the ground. We knew that. So we're pretty motivated to get down there. And unfortunately, they called it, which was a bad call. But also, unfortunately, we didn't end up with that football anyway, which was a little baffling to me how we got six guys around the guy and we didn't catch it. Dalton hit a big field goal towards the end of the half. That was positive. Our kick return unit, they were daring us, and we didn't give Speedy a chance. They ran faster, played harder, and we couldn't sustain blocks up front. you know, we need to give Lane, our punter, a little bit of slack here. It's still live bullets for him in America for the first time ever with the helmet on. He'll continue to get better at that and understand that, yeah, they're coming to try to block the punt, and we need to do a better job of protecting it. He's got to relax and get some game snaps under his belt, and he's going to be a weapon like Dane was for us last year. So, yeah, you're right. We didn't do a very good job special teams-wise. We returned one punt for 25 yards. That was positive. We should get Marcus Jones back here this week, which is a difference maker back to returning punts as well. So a lot of work. Game two. Game one, we dominated special teams. Game two, they dominated us. We got to learn from that to get better, and hopefully it won't happen this week.
Absolutely. We'll talk about Navy on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen is brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by Chastain Ford, and brought to you by HRNP, HRP.net. Taking a break. Don't you go anywhere. We've got the second half with the coach right here. Don't you leave.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Dana Holgorsen every week right here on ESPN 97.5, 8 to 8:30, as he gets ready for Navy now. He's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by Chastain Ford, and brought to you by HRP. All right, the challenges that Navy brings to the table, Dana, facing the triple option once a year is awfully difficult every single time you got to face these guys.
Yeah, it is. It's a big week for the Houston Cougars now. I mean, it's just, we got to travel for the first time. We're still trying to get into game shape a little bit, so we've had a good week of practice. Sunday night was really good. Our preparation in the building on Monday, I was happy with our practice on Tuesday morning. Our practice on Wednesday was good. So I'm happy with our preparation up until this point. There's still a lot of challenges ahead of us. Finishing the week from a mental perspective is big. I'm pulling into the office now. We got meetings and walkthroughs and everything this morning, which is the mental aspect of it, which is good. You gotta be sound from an assignment perspective. And I tell you what Navy's done, which is really pretty smart. I mean, they got as much time as they got to do all that stuff with the offense, they got the same amount of time to do it with the defense. They posed a lot of challenges defensively too, just with a lot of different things, and we got to be sound and disciplined up front with identifying their fronts, which there's a lot of them, with identifying their blitzes, which there's a lot of them. So it's the same thing for us offensively here. We got to work hard, and we got to prepare hard, and it's tricky to have to go out there and be disciplined and do assignment football for 60 minutes in Annapolis. It's a 3-hour trip that we got to do tomorrow. We got to fly up there to Maryland and deal with the whole airlines and hotels and buses on the road for the first time, being a foreign territory that most of us haven't been. I hear it's pretty nice up there, but haven't been. Some of our players have been, so they've been telling me about it. And then we got to play smart, and that's one thing that we've talked about all week. BYU is an old disciplined football team, and they out-disciplined us. We had too many mistakes. We had too many dumb things that we did. And at the end of the day, that's why they beat us. We can't do that against Navy. I mean, they're disciplined times too. So we gotta be super smart on it. And we gotta make sure that we play that way. And it'll be a big week for the Cougs to be able to make that much progress. We did get better from game one to game two. There's a lot of things that we did that was better, prevented some really bad stuff from happening, but we got to be more disciplined, and there's not a better time to do it than playing against the most disciplined team in the country, maybe.
Yeah, discipline is what they're all about there, so that is awfully important. Let's talk. You said you did improve from week one to week two. Listen, where is your team's head? Because I did. I thought that they played some good football. I thought that they – and the score wasn't really indicative because it got out of hand. And there was, at the end of the game, you guys were trying to score, and they just piled on a couple of touchdowns there. After having to sit all that time, then being able to play and starting slow and then starting slow again here, but playing some good football this week. Where do you think your team's head is?
Oh, I think it's good. I think we're motivated. You know, the biggest thing is you know, and I can't keep using this as an excuse, and I will not. But you know, BYU had four games under their belt too. I mean, they'd played a lot of ball, and you know, they had traveled to Annapolis and beat Navy. They had been at home for 3 weeks and had three home games where they whooped up on some people pretty good. You know, and Navy's in the same spot. Navy's played five games where we've played two. Now, I think that evens out after about three games. You know, but there was just some experience game shape stuff, and I think that's why they finished better than we did in the fourth quarter. I think our guys kind of fatigued out a little bit, and we that's an excuse that can't keep happening, obviously. But, you know, I just think that's where they're at. I think our team's in a good place. They're a motivated team. You know, we went from being down 14-3 to having a great second quarter, having the halftime lead, you know, really playing pretty good in the third quarter. That 99-yard drive, I mean, we can't have a 99-yard drive unless our punt returner fair catches it on the one, right? So, you know, which, yeah, I wasn't very happy about that. But anyway, that turned into a 17-play, 8-minute drive, and we scored a touchdown on Clayton's really good play by Clayton. So we battled. You know, and then just they're BYU's a really good team, so they elevated their game in the fourth quarter and ended up beating us. But preparation's been really good. I think they're excited about being able to line up and play again. It's going to be the same way for about 7 weeks. I think there's something to knowing that this is a conference game. I'm not giving anybody a pass for not beaten by BYU by any means, but it doesn't count against our conference record. And conference is what matters in 2020. It's why all these conferences are really only playing conference games. So Navy's first in our league right now at 3-0, and our team is motivated to go up there and beat the team that's leading our league and get us to 2-0 in the conference.
It was a 17. It was a great drive. I was like, what the heck are you doing catching that ball on the 1 yard line? If you're catching it on the 1 yard line, but then you turn that into a great drive. It was a 17 play, 45 minute drive. With the review, because I want to tell you, Dana, I don't know what you did to the Big 12. Do any of the referees like you in the Big 12? Because there were some calls, and that crew clearly had it out for there's no excuses and there's no whatever. They clearly had it out for you guys. To every single call seemed to have gone against you guys.
Well, they had like eight penalties. The review that you're talking about really did us a favor right there, although one of our guys lost. The guy came in and led with his head on KP Kyle, our running back, and it was low and it wasn't necessary, but then Kyle lost his head and headbutted him. And that's the stuff that I'm talking about that we got to present and get rid of. And, you know, that's fair catching it on the one. I don't understand it. But anyway, that kid Bryson Smith came back and made a heck of a play in the red zone on that drive, you know, so he kind of made up for that with the unbelievable.
Getting, you know, his foot in was catch. Unbelievable.
Yeah, heck of a catch, man. You know, so he made up for it. All our guys are, you know, excited about it. You know, Kyle was embarrassed and said that stuff will never happen again. And our team just needs to get rid of all that stuff. But and if we do, I think we're a dang good football team because we do a lot of good stuff. You know, that's a hard thing to do, drive the thing 99 yards in 8 minutes and finish with a touchdown and take a, you know, but then we went and did some more stupid stuff and went out there and screwed up our 2-point conversion. We didn't get that. Could have been up by 14. We're up by 12. But then BYU just went right down and made three really good plays and scored. I don't know what I did. You know, they had some penalties, but six of them were pre-snaps. So those are pretty easy to call when you false start or you delay a game. I mean, there's nothing subjective about that.
No, but there was crappy interference call. There was a holding call. It was ridiculous. I mean, he pushed him to the ground, and they called holding on him. I mean, there's no repercussions, right? Because that's a Big 12. They don't care what you think about their crew.
Well, it's terrible. They threw way too many flags, and our 10 penalties were all 15-yard penalties. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pass interference calls or they're unsportsmanlike. You know, if you block a guy to the ground, you know, you just kind of dominated the guy. You didn't, I mean, you pancaked him. It's a dominating block. And because it's so dominating, then they think it's illegal. So I just don't throw the flag. I mean, if it's any subjective at all, then just don't throw the flag. And this is the first time I can say this because they can't do anything to me right now. They don't like me. Well, I don't like them either. And it's just so some of it I can't coach any differently. Like two of the PI calls, I can't coach it any differently. The kick catch interference, I can't coach it any differently. A couple of the holdings, I can't coach it any differently. So, you know, we just got to move on from it. You know, there's a lot of the dumb stuff that we got to get rid of. We're on track for being a pretty good football team. We just got to get rid of some of the dumb stuff and then play more. We just got to keep playing. We've only played two games. We got seven really big games ahead of us that are all conference games that all count, that all matter, that are all important. Our team knows that. We're excited about going to Annapolis and lining up and playing again.
What do you think about the conference so far?
Navy
3-0, SMU 2-0, Cincinnati, and you are 1-0, Tulsa's 1-0. Tulsa's a better football team than they've shown lately, and everybody else has got at least one loss.
Yeah, Tulsa plays at South Florida tomorrow night. I'd be anxious to watch that in the hotel room up in the Maryland tomorrow. Yeah, they played Oklahoma State pretty good. The league's good. The league's good, just like it has been. The league is good. I don't know if there's the dominating teams that the American has had. I think there's more parity in it. I mean, we're going to be a problem for some people. You know, Central Florida, I mean, they go, you know, they're 0-2 in the league, but they had 800 yards of offense against Memphis. I mean, you think they're not going to be a problem? They're going to be tough. You know, Memphis is just now coming out of their COVID rage, and looks like they're playing pretty good. SMU's played a lot of ball. You know, so they got a seasoned, experienced quarterback just like Memphis does. So, you know, and then Navy's always going to be a problem. There's a reason why. Now, that we're not even watching the BYU game against them. They didn't even put on pads prior to that game. So that game don't count. They've won three conference games. That's the only thing our guys need to know.
They've got 9 more points in conference, and they're 3-0. They're not. The point differential is 9, and they're 3-0. So they're winning close games. At Navy. So good luck, man. Get on. We're going to be watching at 2:30 on Saturday. University of Houston versus Navy, and we'll be rooting for you. We appreciate you being here, and we will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, John. See you, bud.
All right. There is Dana Holcomb.